A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh, even if he once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord. The Lord is kind and merciful.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits.
The Lord is kind and merciful.
He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion.
The Lord is kind.
He will not always chide, nor does he keep his wrath forever. Not according to our sins does he deal with us, nor does he requite us according to our crimes.
The Lord is
kind. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing his kindness towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he put our transgressions from us.
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Matteum.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard it that it was said to your ancestors, 'Do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow.' But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Do not swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one."
Verbum Domini.
The love of Christ impels us. The love of Christ is about interior restoration. The gospel message is about renewal of life, leaving behind the old man and taking on the new man, the new Adam, Christ himself. And it's the love of God who breaks down barriers, who heals wounds, who brings true peace in the world. We pray especially for the conflict in Israel and Iran today, especially war-torn areas throughout the world. We pray for the peace of Christ to reach those areas. The Beatitudes are the context for the gospel every day of this week. The Beatitudes are a snapshot of the Christian life, an autobiography of who Jesus Christ is and what he proposes his followers to be. Pope Francis said that the Beatitudes are, quote, "a few words, simple words, but practical. Practical for all." Because Christianity is a practical religion. It is not just something to be imagined, but it's something to be practiced, to be put into practice. He said, if you ask yourself how to become a good Christian, this is where you can find Jesus' answer. The Beatitudes are to be the Christian's identity card or the life plan. You might say we all carry an identity card, a passport, a driver's license. That's the identity card for the Christian, the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The Beatitudes. The last few days we have heard Jesus say in the Gospels, "You have heard that it was said," and immediately after, "You have heard that it was said," Jesus, speaking as God the Son, gives a definitive interpretation of the law. And he goes right to the heart of the law and talks about an interior restoration, the interior change of the heart that grace brings. Grace builds on nature. Grace helps to conform human nature to God. The law is not a mere observance of external commands, but must be rooted and grounded in an internal observance of the heart. The Lord spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, "But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, oracle of the Lord. I will place my law within them, and I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will place my law within them, the law of grace, the power and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Lord also spoke to the prophet Ezekiel, and I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The prophets foretold that it was the Lord himself who would accomplish and fulfill the law. Jesus gives us his own heart through the life of grace. Baptism, confirmation, the Holy Eucharist, sacrament of penance is what restores us when we fall. The sacrament of marriage, the sacrament of holy orders, sacrament of the anointing of the sick brings us the increase of grace and conformity to Christ. St. John Paul II said back in the Jubilee year 2000, since the Word of God became incarnate and died on the cross for us, the Ten Commandments make themselves heard through his voice. Thought that was very beautiful. The Ten Commandments make themselves heard, not just on the tablets of the law, not just on tablets, but Jesus Christ himself speaking and bringing the law to its ultimate fulfillment through the voice of Christ. He says it roots them, he roots them, Jesus, through the life of grace in the hearts of those who believe in him. John Paul II said, the Beatitudes are the evangelical completion of the law of Sinai, the law given to Moses. Jesus goes right to the heart of the matter in today's gospel. You have heard that it was said to your ancestors, do not take a false oath, but make good to the Lord all that you vow. But I say to you, do not swear at all, not by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool. Jesus appoints to us of the importance of honesty and truthfulness in one's actions and in one's speech. We owe it to God, to our neighbor, and to ourselves to live in the truth, to live in the light. And this is only possible if we conform our lives to Christ, to live in the light, to allow even him to speak in our lives. I think my mom used to say, she's here this morning, I think my mom used to say, be careful the way you live. You may be the only gospel that your neighbor will ever see. Be careful the way you live, by the way you live your life. This requires that we make a submission of our intellect and our will to God, who is truth himself. The Lord desires us to live in the truth and not within some false vision of reality. All of those false visions of reality need to come crumbling down. And it's the Lord himself in grace who enables us to change, to conform our lives to Christ, to get rid of any false visions of reality that we have within ourselves. To see ourselves for who we truly are, we need to be in constant contact with God. That's what prayer is. Prayer is constant contact, constant communication with the God who loves us, allowing God to love us. It's by living by his law and by the Beatitudes that our consciences begin to be formed. We cannot form our consciences by ourselves. Our consciences must be formed by the truth, by allowing the truth to change it, by being conformed to truth and allowing the truth to change us. We don't just sit and ponder and make up our own minds. Our conscience needs to be formed by truth, by living in the light, by being conformed to Christ and allowing that grace to change us. Lies enslave us and prevent us from a clear vision of reality. You might say that lies prevent us from seeing who we really are in God's eyes. Lies are like a smokescreen in our life. Prevent us from seeing ourselves and our lives as a gift for who we truly are in God's eyes. And when we're living a lie, it affects our relationships and our neighbor, the society at large, and most of all, our relationship with God. And we cannot live a lie and be in union with God. Lies and truth are incompatible. Lies must go. Lies must be completely banished by allowing that light in. God gives us the freedom to choose the truth. When we allow Him to have dominion of our hearts, we begin to recognize the lies in our lives. And by His grace, if we so choose, we can be set free of a life of lies and a life in conformity to the truth, to leave lies behind, to shed off the old man and to live according to the new man, the new life of grace, the new Adam. And this is what it means to be a new creation in Christ. St. Paul says in his letter, second letter to the Corinthians, we are defined by our relationship with Christ, by our conformity to Him through interior transformation. St. Augustine says, whoever is in Christ is made new inwardly. The outer man still ages, but the inner man is renewed day by day. As we get older, we age. Things just don't work the way they used to as we get older. But the new life, the interior transformation of the heart, the soul, you might say is always made new. Always being in need of interior restoration. The new creation within us, the indwelling of God, is not just a, quote, a polish on the old man. It's not just a polish making the outside new, but it's a rebirth in grace, an interior transformation. It's a new identity in Christ. We come to know the Lord with a desire to be made new. This is how we approach the Lord in Mass, Holy Mass. When we come to pray, we come to pray the rosary. When we come to adoration during the day, we come to be made new every day. Every day we come before the Lord, teach me how to pray today. Every day is a new day. To learn how to pray today, make me new today. We come to Him with our brokenness, our weaknesses, even our sins. This is truly everything that is our own. Our brokenness, our sins, our failures, that is our own. That's everything we have to offer to God. Anything good that we have is from God. We bring Him our weaknesses, our sins, to heal and absolve. We bring Him our brokenness and our wounds to bind up, like we do a doctor. We bring him even our shame. This belief that there is something flawed and unworthy about us. The shame that brings us to think that we are unlovable and unacceptable in the eyes of God. We bring him even that. We bring him our shame. How many people think that they are unlovable and unacceptable? We bring him that to be changed, to be made new. And this month is the month of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And we beg the Lord to give us new hearts, restored hearts. On Saturdays, we turn to the one who gave him a heart by her yes. Blessed Virgin Mary's yes was always a yes, and her no was always a no. Under her heart rested the Word made flesh, Jesus. And her yes brought the Savior into the world. And our yes can bring the Lord Jesus into the world. Our yes contributes not just to saving ourselves, but our yes contributes to the salvation of the world, the restoration of the world, bringing the new life of Christ into the world. Let your yes mean yes, and your no mean no. Anything more is from the evil one.